springtime in India.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. India is where some of our esteemed lawmakers are heading on their spring break this week. The Republican House leader is there today, and Democratic Senator Ted Kennedy will follow later in the week. Miranda Kennedy tells us about the deal that's causing so much action in New Delhi.
The Bush administration has been pushing hard for the deal that will acknowledge India's nuclear weapons program, but the pact needs congressional approval, and most of Congress has remained carefully neutral, including House Speaker Dennis Hastert. And that's got Indian officials worried. So they'll be giving U.S. legislators the hard sell this week. On the Indian side is U.S. Ambassador David Mulford. He says the deal will bring new defense and nuclear sales to U.S. companies.
When U.S. companies can play a part in the development of that industry, that would be an important thing for India to achieve.
The deal will help feed India's energy needs, but more importantly, Indian officials say it's a status symbol for a country that hopes to become a major world power. In New Delhi, I'm Miranda Kennedy for Marketplace.
That paper cup you're holding now, there's a good chance it's recycled. A trade group is reporting 51.5% of all paper products were recycled last year, a record high. Back in 1990, it was only about 30%. Almost 100 million tons of paper is used in the U.S. every year. A plan to cut greenhouse gas emissions in California has got the nod from Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, but Marketplace's Sam Eaton says many businesses think the price will be too high.
California's strategy consists of some four dozen initiatives, everything from farmer incentives to grow biofuel crops to a cap-and-trade program for buying and selling the right to pollute. The goal? Reduce California's greenhouse gas emissions 80% by 2050. But Dorothy Rothrock with the California Manufacturers and Technology Association says emissions aren't the only thing the plan will cut.
A cap on emissions in California means that we're going to have a cap on our ability to grow in California.
Rothrock says that could trigger an exodus of manufacturing jobs. But Terry Tamminen with the governor's office says the net effect would actually be more jobs.
Somebody who installs a solar panel on your roof, that's not a job you can outsource to China.
Businesses are far from aligned in their stance. Pacific Gas and Electric and oil giant BP, among others, praised the governor's actions. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
American Airlines says it's going to charge an extra $10 to $20 for its international flights. The airline blames high oil prices for the surcharge. Crude is trading near $69 a barrel this morning. In other airline news, Delta said today its pilots continue their high-stakes talks, and if no deal is reached, the pilots say they could strike as early as Tuesday. And on Wall Street Tuesday, the Dow closed down 81 points to 11,089. The Nasdaq was down 23 to 2310. On Tuesday, Nasdaq became the biggest shareholder in the London Stock Exchange, where shares have soared 150% over the past year. And you are listening to Marketplace. Now, if you're Jewish, you're not supposed to have leavened bread for Passover, which starts tonight, but you can have your eBay. Rachel Dornhelm explains the connection.
For over 1,000 years, some Jews have sold their prohibited bread-like goods, or chametz, to non-Jews for Passover. Rabbi Mark Bloom of Oakland's Temple Beth Abraham.
If they own the chametz, they have violated the commandment. So therefore, usually the rabbi sells the chametz to the non-Jew who owns it for the duration of that time.
Enter eBay. Bloom says rabbi listservs are buzzing about people selling their own chametz online, with proceeds going to charities. eBayer Renee Translatour had her chips and cereal up for grabs.
The whole point of the auction is just to raise a little bit of money, sell the chametz legitimately, and raise a little bit of money for the charities.
She says she'll do it again next year and expects even more company. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
And you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. Market data and news brought to you by Reuters. The facts without spin as they happen. Reuters helps you stay in the know now.
This is Marketplace. I'm Lisa Napoli. Today, the governor of Massachusetts is expected to sign legislation that'll give health insurance to almost every citizen of the state. The plan won't require any additional state spending, but commentator Robert Reich thinks it's not too good to be true. He says it could be a model for the rest of the nation.
There's no free lunch and no free health care. So how does Massachusetts plan to insure its 500,000 residents who don't now have health insurance and do so without spending any more state money? By doing three simple things that every other state could do just as well. First, it's using the money it now pays hospitals for giving free emergency care to the uninsured. As it is now, most people without health insurance don't see a doctor. They wait until whatever problem they have is so severe, it becomes an emergency. Then they go to hospital emergency rooms that take in anyone needing emergency care. But by this time, the health problem is hugely expensive to cure. So Massachusetts says, sensibly, let's use this money instead to insure people so they can see a doctor before their health problem becomes an expensive emergency. Second, Massachusetts is bundling health insurance policies together so individuals and small businesses can buy health insurance as if they were parts of a large company. It's called economies of scale, roughly the same technique Walmart uses to get great deals from its thousands of suppliers. As a result, health insurance will be cheaper in Massachusetts. This is also just good common sense. Third, and here's the controversial one, Massachusetts is requiring middle and upper middle class people who don't now have health insurance to buy it for themselves. Many of these people are young, in their 20s and 30s. They don't have health insurance because they know their risk of having a serious health problem is very low. Like most young people, they think they're indestructible. Of course, they're not indestructible. Some of them will need health care. But when they're required to buy health insurance, they not only insure themselves, they also add their money to an insurance pool that will be drawn on by everyone, including those who are older, poorer, and likely to be sicker. Now, libertarians may holler about this, but it seems sensible and fair. Mandatory health insurance is not an invasion of our independence. I mean, we've got to buy car insurance if we want to drive, right? We have to buy home insurance if we want to get a mortgage. So what's wrong with requiring everyone who can afford health insurance to buy it, even if some people who are needier may get a bit more of the benefits? Massachusetts, my old home state, has come up with an almost universal health care plan that could work in other states, too. At a time when the federal government seems incapable of doing anything, some states are moving forward. Now, I'm not saying that as Massachusetts goes, so goes the nation. Massachusetts is a bit, well, shall I say, to the left of Kansas. But even Kansas might be attracted by a plan that insures nearly everyone without spending a taxpayer dime.
Commentator Robert Reich is a former Secretary of Labor. Now he's a professor at Brandeis University. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
Working parents.